Would it be crazy to enjoy more love in your life in under 60 minutes? Welcome to the Love with Intelligence radio show. I am your host, Lily Wolford, an international relationship and dating coach, and I have supported thousands of people like you to enjoy real, honest, and genuine love that lasts, using behavioral psychology, body language, profiling, and so much more. Join us now as we dive into the deepest topics about love, dating, heartbreaks, and relationships.
Hello and welcome back. So we have another very juicy topic. Why ambitious and self-aware people need to date differently. And this is super important. Like, this is something that I really, really dive into with my clients, because they wonder why, dating and online dating specifically has never really worked for them. And they also wonder why their relationships have been quite surface level. They've never really felt that deep connection. And, you know, they go through relationships in a way where they believe everything is going fine. And then the relationship just suddenly ends. And they don't know why. Because they thought everything was going perfectly. They had these amazing goals. They knew exactly what they were working towards. Their partner knew exactly what was going on. And there was full commitment there. But something went wrong. Something went wrong where that relationship just suddenly ended and they don't know why. So I want to dive into this a little bit more deeper. So let's say that you didn't even get to the relationship stage and you were just stuck in the dating stage, where you were dating people again and again and again who didn't really appreciate you. They didn't really understand your level of self-awareness. They didn't understand your ambition. And truth be told, they were a little bit threatened by it. Well, if you are dating people who feel threatened by your success, then they're probably not the right person for you, are they? So let's kind of dive in a little bit deeper of why ambitious and self-aware people end up in these patterns again and again and again. And it's really simple. The more ambitious people are, the more they focus on goals, the tick list, and logic. And they completely forget about the emotional side of a relationship. How does it feel? How does it feel being in that person's presence? How does it feel, you know, if you are completely honest with yourself, to actually be present with that person? Because what tends to happen time and time again is that ambitious people tend to fall in love with the potential. They tend to go, oh, well, I've met this person and they're going to be completely aligned to this. And when we reach this level, when we buy our house, when we get engaged, when we get married, when we have children, and they're always living in the future. They never actually say, well, do I like this person, or does this person just have the right things on the list where a tick, 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 you know, they will do, they can fulfill this fantasy or this, potential reality that you can live, you know, that you can actually experience with this person. But the truth is, they haven't even felt into, is this person actually right for me? They just tend to focus on, oh, what's their job? Where do they live? What do they want to do in the future? Versus, do I get on with this person? Do they have a similar sense of humor as me? Do they have aligned values and beliefs? Do we believe in the same thing? Do we enjoy talking about the same thing? Now you can see, like, how when people start focusing on these goals and they start, you know, focusing on the fantasy and the potential versus what's actually going on. Because the truth is, ambitious people, the reason they're so ambitious is because they have vision. They're constantly looking at the future. They're constantly looking at the goals. And that's great within business. That's great within, your health and fitness and things like that. But it's so damaging when it comes to relationships. because you can't be in a relationship and constantly look at the potential. Because if you're doing that, you're not falling in love with the truth of that person. You're falling in love with false expectations. And the problem is, if you're constantly, you know, dating and entering relationships from that place, you're never going to feel satisfied. You're never going to feel seen. You're never going to develop that deep level of intimacy. So you can start to see why so many people end up in these surface level relationships with people they don't know. Now, the other thing I want to talk about as well is this level of self-awareness. Because truth be told, self-awareness is so rare. It's so rare. You know, if you think about it, how many people in your social circles actually have that awareness of themselves, that have that accountability and that responsibility to themselves as well? Because time and time again, I see people who enter relationships and they almost want to take responsibility for their other partner because they don't see or they're not self-aware enough to notice what's going wrong. It was actually quite funny. I was chatting to a client recently who, you know, had entered a relationship and they were wondering why their partner wasn't seeing things the same way they saw things. They didn't understand why their partner was doing things to sabotage the relationship. And they felt frustrated. They wanted their partner to act like them and to see things from their point of view. But the problem is, that's expecting someone to not be them. And that's what tends to, you know, cause issues. Because you're not living by the, you know, you're living by the expectations rather than the truth. Now, this kind of ties back into this level of ambition. Because what is ambition really? You know, we kind of talked and we touched on this like last week. And if you didn't check out that episode, please check that out because it was just super powerful. The amount of people that reached out to me after listening to that episode and shared their insights and their realizations was just profound. So if you haven't already, please go and check out that episode because it goes into self-sabotage and how people use that to avoid entering love, you know, a loving relationship. But this kind of also dovetails into why ambitious and self-aware people need to date differently. Because if you want that deep level of, you know, intimacy and that deep level of connection, well, you need to understand, number one, how to find it. Number two, how to fall in love with the truth of that person, you know, rather than that potential. And number three, what you're actually getting from that relationship. You know, what's the intention behind it? Because this is where the patterns come from. Now, what I tend to find is when people enter relationships and they develop a certain pattern, there's always a positive and negative intention behind the pattern. So when we have a look at even the most toxic of patterns, there's, you know, can be something like stonewalling in arguments, for example. Well, there's a benefit. There's always a benefit behind the behaviour. Now, what I tend to see a lot with ambitious and self-aware people is that they go into relationships where they want to fix people, where they want to build people up, where they want to lead, where they want to parent. And think about it, you know, there's benefits to that. There's the benefit of being in control and being the leader. There's the payoff of being able to help someone. And there's also the safety of feeling in control because you're creating that level of stability. But the problem is, when you're dating from that place, you're damaging the chemistry, you're damaging the equalship within the relationship, and you're actually entering something that's highly codependent. Because you're then in a relationship where someone needs you versus someone wanting you. There's a very different intention behind it. And the other thing is, when you think about an ambitious and self-aware person, they know who they are. They know what they want out of life. They know their identity at that deeper level. And it also means then they need to also meet someone who also knows who they are. They also, you know, understand what they want out of life. But the truth is, it's only a very small percentage of people who truly know who they are at that deep level. I'm not talking the surface level. I'm talking the deep level where they know exactly who they are, what type of relationship they're looking for, what type of life they're looking to create. And this is why ambitious and self-aware people need to date differently, because there's only a small percentage of people that really truly understand this. Because think about it, if you're not dating someone who is on your level, they're going to pull you back. It was quite funny, there was this metaphor that kind of came to mind, like looking at this. And, you know, there's that quote or that, I think it's like a, I don't know if it's a quote or a fact, so apologies if I get this wrong. But it's, you are a combination of the five people that you spend the most time around. So if you have brought in a partner into your life who isn't your equal, well, they're only going to bring you down. I mean, for example, there was this metaphor that came into my head. And this sounds a little bit dark, but I think it communicates the point across quite well. Imagine two birds flying in the air. Okay, they're flying beautifully in the air together. And one of them gets, you know, shot in their wing. And they go down. Well, you know, the bird that got shot in the wing is going to go down. But also, the bird partner to that bird is going to want to fly down with that bird as well to see if it's okay. And this is what I see, you know, happen in relationships. You know, if you're falling in love with the potential of someone, you know, you're always going to have that expectation that they're going to fly high and you're going to fly high together. And if they don't fly high, well, you're going to have to fly at their level to try and bring them up. And this is what I tend to see, like, you know, this horrible codependent pattern. And also, the ambition tends to create this drive to make something work. Because ambitious people tend to be problem solvers. It's like, yes, I can make anything work. I can problem solve this. Because here's the other thing. Ambitious people feel good for getting things right, for doing things that people say that they can't do, and for achieving. So when you start applying that to love, there's a lot of pressure that actually ends up on that relationship, even if it's not right. And what they tend to do is they take that responsibility on of that relationship. And this is no good. This is not a good pattern to be in. So if you're recognizing this in yourself, then it's worth questioning, you know, is this really working for me? Is this what you really, really want? Does this feel good for you? And it's then questioning, okay, well, if it's not, then what's going to change? What are you going to give yourself permission to change? Because the funny thing is, with love especially, love isn't about these goals. Love isn't about achieving. Love is about understanding the truth of who you are and understanding the truth of your partner and creating a relationship from that foundation. Because if you don't have that level of self-acceptance of yourself and acceptance of your partner for who they are, then don't expect that relationship where you're going to have that deep level of intimacy and connection. Because acceptance is also accepting that you are human, that they are human. And this is the thing, you know, social media and all this pressure and all these magazines and all these different things don't give people the permission to actually be human. But that's a whole other story. So it's kind of coming back to, you know, who are you? What is it that you actually want in a partner? And do you actually, you know, are you open to being in a relationship where you can be accepted for who you are? Because that's important. You deserve that. You deserve to be loved for you. But are you ready for that? Are you ready to be in a relationship where you can be loved for just being you? Because that's deep. That's what real love is. Real love is about truth. It's not about the potential. It's not about the dream. It's about the reality. Because if you're constantly living in this dreamlike state in your relationships, then you're going to miss out on the best parts of that relationship in the moment. Or worse, you're going to suddenly realize that the expectations you had from that person, they're never going to be able to meet. They're never going to be the person you hoped them to be. And I know I'm going deep, but it's important. It's important to understand this. Because I see this time and time again. And what happens is, when you have picked someone who can't fulfill that potential, who can't be who you want them to be, it creates this resentment. It drags you down. You start moithering over all the different problems in that relationship. And it feels strained, and it takes you away from the progress that you make within work, the progress that you're making for your health, the progress that you're making within every area of your life. And it becomes very consuming. So how do ambitious and self-aware people date? Well, the first thing I actually want you to sort of feel into is, how self-aware do you feel you are? What are the qualities that allow you to realize that you are self-aware? How aware are you of social situations? How aware are you of your own emotions? How aware are you of your own healing journey? Because self-awareness, again, it boils back down to this level of truth. Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? And also, have you accepted your own journey up until this point? Have you accepted your story and everything that you've achieved, everything that you've overcome, every problem and every muck-up that you've made in your life? Have you accepted that? Have you accepted that you are human? Because you'd be amazed how many people just struggle with just accepting that they're human. Because think about it, if you can't accept that you're human, and you're entering a relationship where you can't accept that other person for being human, how strained is that relationship? So when you can start to actually understand the elements of, you know, what makes you self-aware and what behaviours you are showing to prove that you're self-aware, you can start recognizing that in other people. You know, I love the analogy of dance partners. You know, I can't dance. I'd love to be able to dance, but I do have two left feet. In fact, I do agility with my dogs, and there was this funny moment with my agility instructor, and she was trying to show me this very simple basic move, like four steps tops.
And it took me about 15 minutes to try and do it. Cringe moment. But yeah, going back to the dance analogy, is, you know, if you are dancing with a dance partner who doesn't know the music, who doesn't take into consideration where you are stepping, it's going to hurt and it's going to feel awkward. And you need that person to be super self-aware and on par with you and willing to work with you in order for this to feel easy. It's as simple as that. But most people struggle to actually accept that and learn that and understand that. And do you know what? Actually, this is quite interesting. I always know the difference between someone who's self-aware and someone who isn't. And it's really simple. Really, really simple. It's number one, someone who's actually in touch with their feelings. Like, how much do you know and understand your own emotional dialogue, like your internal dialogue, the emotional side of you, and how often do you actually communicate that? Like, how do you feel right now? I know I keep asking this, like, in different episodes. But even if you check in right now, what are you feeling? What are the different things that trigger, a horrible word, trigger you? What are the things that make you happy? Like, seriously, that's a huge one. Most people don't know what makes them happy. That's always a great way to know if someone's self-aware enough. And the other thing is, what do you need to work on? What are the weaker aspects of your personality? And what are the strong parts of your personality? And what I tend to find is, when I speak to people about dating in particular, is the self-aware people will turn around to me and say, look, you know what, I need to heal. There's this, I know this is what I need to work on within myself. The people who aren't self-aware will just turn around to me and say, right, Lily, I need a step-by-step plan on how to go ahead and date and meet the right person. Just like, as soon as I hear that, it's like, oh no, you're missing it. You're really missing it. Because if you can't tap into who you are and accept who you are, then you're never going to be able to meet someone who's actually right for you, because you're not going to be in the right space to enjoy it. You'll always be in this place of wanting to fix someone or improve someone. Or, you know, work for love. Like proving to everyone that you deserve love. No. You know, a self-aware person will actually take that time to really understand themselves at that deeper level. And then be in the right place to go ahead and date. And you'll be amazed how many people aren't even prepared to go ahead and do that. But this is also one of the reasons why I get so, like, amazing results when it comes to my clients. Because they are prepared to do the inner work. They're prepared to get to that stage where it's like, yeah, do you know what? I'm so glad that I did the inner work to get to this moment, because it means I can enjoy this relationship more. I can appreciate my partner more. It's easier for me to create a healthy relationship with them from this space. And also, they also know that they would have never attracted the right kind of partner whilst they were in that space before they met me. You know, if they're in that space of feeling depressed or going through a heartbreak or being afraid to trust, they would have done everything to self-sabotage that relationship. So when we have a look at dating, it's also remembering that it's not this space to prove yourself. And that's what I tend to find. It's like, you know, if I think back to when I was dating, dating a lot, probably about a good, I think I was excessively dating about 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago. And I probably went on, you know, 20 dates in a very short space of time. And it was more about, you know, the reason I was dating that often, you know, that much back then was, well, number one, I could prove that I could get a date. Number two, I wanted to meet different people because I got to learn more about myself through other people. So I was doing it in quite, you know, learning about myself in a lazy way. Because I'm being completely open and honest, it was being lazy. Because, you know, when you meet people, it's more about understanding what you do and don't like. And also, I wasn't picky enough. I went on dates where, do I share this? Yes, I'll just share this. I remember going on this date with this lawyer. And it was just so cringy. Because the thing was, I already knew that I wasn't interested. I already knew I was not interested in this person one iota. And I just thought, you know what, I'm bored. I'm happy to go and meet this person after work because I've got nothing else to do. And it was more from a place of like, I don't feel like I had anything good in my life at that point. So I needed to keep myself busy. You know, it was a boredom date rather than, oh yeah, I really like this person, I want to meet them, I can see, you know, I can see that we're compatible. It wasn't from that space at all. And I went on this date and this guy just talked about himself the whole night. Like the whole night, literally gave me the backstory of how, you know, he grew up on a council estate, worked really, really hard to end up as a barrister. Which is freaking amazing, you know, it's really impressive. But I didn't need to hear the whole story, you know, constantly for the whole night. Like, this guy didn't know anything about me. Anything about me at all. You know, in a healthy conversation, you bounce back. You're like, oh yeah, I'll ask you a question, you ask me a question. It's just easy, you know, that's just what happens. But unfortunately, this guy was, you know, in a place where he was trying to prove himself. Think about it. If you felt good about yourself, you wouldn't feel the need to go, oh yes, this is what I've done. This is how I've done it. How amazing am I? You know, and you don't need to. It's coming from this very insecure place. But do you know what the cringy part of that date was? Was that he didn't pick up any of my signals that I wasn't interested. And proceeded to, this is really cringy. So the end of the night, you know, just finished the last of our drinks. And walk back towards my car. And he turns around to me and said, one second, I've got something for you. Walks over to his car, opens the boot, and pulls out a single rose. Walks over, hands it to me, and said, I had a lot of fun tonight. Do you fancy seeing each other again? Face palm. Seriously. Seriously. See, sometimes ambitious and self-aware just don't go together. And I think that was one of those moments. Oh, I feel like I need to write a book about all these different dating experiences. Oh, but so I just thought of another one as well, but maybe I'll save that for another episode. But yeah, you can see if someone's like not self-aware enough and they have ambition, they're just focusing on the potential. Well, it can feel exhausting, it feels superficial, there's no real connection, there's no vulnerability, there's nothing. How boring is that? So, let's kind of like just talk a little bit about, you know, healthy relationships in general, because this will give you a little bit of a clue of why it's so important to, number one, understand the truth of yourself and other people and the relationship. And number two, what you actually need in order to have a healthy relationship. So I love to quote the four C's, okay? So I did a lot of research around this and I decided to create the four C's. And the first one is compatibility, because the truth is, if you're not going in the same direction in life, if you don't enjoy the same things, if you don't enjoy the same values and interests, your relationship's going to feel really strained. Really, 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 really strained. Okay? Especially if you don't prioritize the same things as well. Oof, that's a big one. The next one is consideration, because if you don't consider each other, forget it. And think about it. Consideration has so much to do with self-awareness. Because the more self-aware of yourself you are, the more self-aware of other people you are too. And that's important. That's really, really important. The next one is communication. Self-aware people can communicate beautifully. Okay, they understand, you know, what they need to share with their partner. They understand what they need to share in general. They understand what they need. Because I don't know how many people or situations I have heard or been told about where people have decided to communicate in a very cryptic way. It's like they're saying something, but it's not actually what they mean. There's an undertone to it. I'm just trying to think of a few examples that I'm allowed to share. That's the fun part. But it's almost like, you know, if you're needing more affection, for example, say it. If you're wanting more commitment, it's okay to say it. Rather than, well, you don't love me anyway. You know, that horrible passive-aggressive push-pull rubbish? It's toxic. It's like, you know, when people go into the stupid game-playing. No, don't do it. It doesn't work, it's damaging, and it puts people in a state of panic. And a relationship in panic and a relationship that has added stress to it isn't going to go very well. And the last one is collaboration. Learning how to collaborate in the best kind of way. But the thing is, with collaboration, what most people don't understand is that you have to be accountable and responsible for yourself. Because if you're in that state where you feel the need to be responsible for someone else, you end up in something that's highly codependent and highly toxic. It's not healthy at all. So if you end up in that space of a very highly toxic, codependent relationship, then you're going to be in a space where you feel needed by your partner rather than wanted and desired. You're also going to ruin your sex life. That's the truth, because if you can't even work together in the right way and you're not responsible or accountable for yourself, well, that's going to break down communication. That's also going to break down how you see each other as equals in that relationship too. So, you know, this has devastating effects. You don't want to do that. The other thing that I want to talk about as well, and this is important, is when you're self-aware, it's important to ask yourself, what is the intention of wanting a relationship or being in a relationship? And the reason I say this, because I know it's quite a weird thing to come up with, but something came up recently where I was talking to a potential client, and the reason why they wanted to enter a relationship is because they didn't like their flat and they wanted to be able to move into a bigger house with a new partner. That was the main reason they were dating and going on dates and meeting people. Can anyone, you know, put your hands up if you can tell me what's wrong with that scenario? You know, it's not love at that point. It's that codependent, I need you. I need you to provide. I need you. And it's not even from this space of like wanting to be an equal. I mean, that's sad. And not being funny as well. If you flip it around the other side, imagine, you know, finding out that someone was only dating and the only reason they dated you is because, well, you had a house. They wanted to live off you. You'd just feel used. You'd feel angry. You'd feel abused. You wouldn't feel like someone was loving you for who you are. That's an awful thing to go ahead and do. So it's coming back to why you want to fall in love now. Why do you want to enter a relationship? What's the intention behind that relationship? Is it for something that's long-lasting? Is it something that's healthy? Is it something that just, you know, you want to add to your life? Because even going back to that story I was telling you about the lawyer I went on a date with, you know, I was bored. The reason I dated was, yeah, probably to learn a little bit more about me and all the rest of it, and just learn about other people. And, you know, I think I was doing NLP and stuff like that at the time, so I was still very curious about people in general. But it was mainly because I was bored. It's like, oh yeah, I've got nothing else to do in my life. Why didn't I go on a date? I was looking for fun and excitement through other people rather than creating it in my life. So I was dating from the wrong space. But guess what happened when I was dating from the right space, when my life felt fulfilling with or without a relationship? And the interesting thing is when your life feels fulfilling, when you're in a relationship, you don't need the relationship. You don't need it. But you choose it. And that's the difference. You know, you think about the word commitment, it's a choice. It's not from this thing of like, I need it. And it's, you know, it's this, you know, I think people tend to create commitment as almost like this jail or this prison versus what it actually is. It's I choose this, I choose you, I choose this relationship, I choose where we live, I choose all the happy moments, I choose this. That's what commitment is. But do you know where commitment actually starts? Because it's not a relationship. It actually starts with you. You know, what's your commitment to your life? You know, how have you committed yourself to creating the best life possible where you feel fulfilled? Because I've seen this, you know, think about narcissistic relationships, for example. You know, narcissistic relationships, they are very cleverly put together. Very cleverly. When you look at the human biology of how the brain works and how it's, fulfilled by, you know, serotonin and dopamine, all these lovely, happy pleasure chemicals going on. Well, the narcissist in that relationship, and I'm talking about real narcissists. I think if you've been listening for a while, you'll know that I talk about real narcissists, not the phony word of narcissist. So a narcissist, the empathy part of the brain is actually underdeveloped, okay? So that's the true essence of what a real narcissist is. But what they do, a narcissist will make themselves the pleasure and the happiness in your life. So you will not experience any happiness, any pleasure outside of them. They are the keepers of your happiness. That's how like those horrible narcissistic relationships work. So when that person goes to leave that relationship, they're petrified because all the goodness out of their life is going. Okay, so really focus on that. I mean, I remember, and I'll share with you how deep this goes, because it might give you a little bit of an insight of how this relation, you know, how these relationships work. But so roughly about 10 years ago, I was in a narcissistic psychopathic relationship. And if I went out, because it was a long distance relationship as well, if I went out with any of my friends, or if I went out in general, or if I did anything he didn't like for whatever reason, he would strike up an argument so I wouldn't want to go and experience whatever I went and experienced. So it might be like, oh yeah, I'm going out for a meal tonight with a few friends. Before I know it, that's it. It's a huge argument whilst I'm out in the meal. You know, horrible. You know, that horrible moment where you're texting and trying to, you know, heal things over and smooth it over. And I didn't realise how bad this had got. I didn't realise mentally how, bad, like, you know, and how isolated I actually was. Because even down to what they tend to do with things like friends and family, is they'll say, oh, I don't like that person, or, oh, I know you've hung out with them because of X, Y, Z, you're not like that. They'll make those relationships feel harder. So again, you know, you're not getting pleasure from your friendships, you're not getting pleasure from going out, you're not getting pleasure from doing your hobbies because they taint it. And the moment I actually realised how bad this was, and this was like such a huge moment because I wasn't that self-aware back then either. I'll be completely open and honest with you. But I remember after breaking up with him, I went out for a Chinese with a few girlfriends from work. And it was just fantastic. Absolutely loved it. You know, they picked me up, had a few drinks, ate a load of food. I mean, a load of food. The Chinese restaurant was awesome because they just kept on bringing out more and more Chinese. It was just incredible. And when I got dropped off by my friends and I was walking up the drive, and I remember just feeling weird. I was like, I still feel good. Why? Why do I still feel good? And I remember feeling really shocked about it because, you know, obviously throughout their relationship, I was never allowed to feel good. I was never allowed to feel good without him there. And if I went out without him, again, he'd start up arguments and make things really difficult. So I remember feeling very odd after, you know, 2-3 years of being with him to suddenly feeling good about going out and enjoying my life. So this is why, you know, toxic relationships can be so damaging because you're playing with brain chemistry. And this is why, you know, meeting the right person is so important and why codependency is so damaging. You know, if you can't be the keeper of your own happiness, well, that's going to cause a huge impact on your relationship, on your dating life, on you being true to who you are. So, you know, it's really important to understand that because also, a lot of people go through that in their relationships in some sort of way. It doesn't necessarily have to be a narcissistic relationship. You know, some people really struggle with being disapproved of. And if they have a relationship where, you know, part of their life was disapproved of, they might stop that part of their life. And, you know, you get these people who've been in codependent relationships and they go, oh, I lost myself. How did I lose myself? Well, it's because you know, let go of the truth of who you are in order to work for love and change yourself to be loved. And the truth is, if you have to work for it or change yourself, you're never going to be fully loved. It's not love that you're receiving. So when we talk about that self-aware element, it's important to really know who you are as a person. What makes you happy? What you need? The life that you've created for yourself? Everything. Because it's not about trying to fit the mold in order to be loved by someone. It's about having the freedom to live out the truth of who you are. You know, if you're feeling suppressed in a relationship, well, it's not the right relationship for you. If you feel constantly sad and constantly low in a relationship, well, guess what? It's probably not the right relationship for you. Or there's something in your life that's not you, that's not allowing you to live out your truth. So this is why it's so important to really understand yourself. Because if you don't know what's going to make you happy, if you don't know what's going to allow you to feel good in your life, well, that's not going to change by being in a relationship. I mean, so many times as well, I see people wanting to meet a partner because suddenly they assume that the Disney films are completely true, where you meet the one and everything, you know, everything falls into place and you live happily ever after. It's not true. If you're miserable single, you're going to be miserable in a relationship. That's just how it works. You know, because otherwise you're going to end up in this codependent pattern of, oh, you need to make me happy. And that person's never going to meet your expectations. So, ambition and having self-awareness is so important, and it's such a beautiful, wonderful, high-value quality to have. So it's important to be able to meet someone who is on that same level as you. And the truth is, you might actually struggle to find that online. You know, I'm not saying it's impossible, but what I'm saying is you're going to struggle because there's going to be a whole lot of sieving to do in order to meet someone who's right. I mean, even think about it. Even think about your social circles right now. How many people have the same level of self-awareness as you? How many people have the same drive and ambition, who actually understand your ambition as well? How many of those people are around you? Probably not many. And this is one of the reasons why I work with people so closely in order to create their personalized dating strategy. Because everyone's different, and it's also important to actually date in line with who you are. You know, I don't use this word often, but I hate the whole thing of, oh, let's go and wait in a bar and see, you know, who chats you up. That's dangerous. I also really dislike some dating apps, because I don't think that's the right way to date if you are self-aware. Okay, and ambitious. I don't believe it's the right way to date. I also don't believe dating in a way that makes you feel uncomfortable is the right way either, because people miss out on who you are. You want people to experience you as your truth. You as the best you can possibly be. Because if they're not experiencing the true essence of who you are, well, you're catfishing them, you know, psychologically. And that sucks more than a proper catfish. Because, you know, there's nothing worse than going, well, I signed up for this amazing person, but actually it's not who they are or who they say they are. You know, that can feel absolutely devastating. So let's kind of think about like the takeaways of today. Number one, understanding who you are. Who are you as a person? Who is the truth of you? How do you feel? What do you need to heal? What are the things? What are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? What makes you happy as a person? Are you currently living your best life? Because that's going to have an impact on the type of relationship you actually bring in. Okay, number two, ambition. If you're trying to work for love in the same way that you work towards your goals, chances are you are going to end up in the wrong kind of relationship because you're using relationships and dating as goalposts. No. No, you're not allowed to do that. Well, you can if you want to, but we know how it's going to end. But it's coming back to allow yourself to be loved for who you are rather than what you can do. If you feel like you need to be like that lawyer I told you about that needs to share all the different things of how amazing he is and all the rest of it in order to feel worthy of love, well, you don't love yourself. You don't appreciate who you are, and you're expecting someone else to show that appreciation so you feel externally validated. Toxic as anything. So just don't do it. Don't do it, because you're going to end up in a codependent and not a very healthy relationship, and there's ways to heal that. That's important to know. That's an area to look at to heal. So the other thing is, understand what self-awareness means to you as well. What allows you to know that you're self-aware? What allows you to know that someone else is so self-aware and on your level? And the other thing is, where are you dating from? What's the intention behind meeting someone? Is it to just enhance your life in a way where it's like, yep, I'm happy with my life so far. I just want to meet someone where I can share this life with. Because that's very different to, oh, well, I need a place to stay. I know someone who's actually done this. There's a person who actually used to go on dates. I won't name them, but they'll know who they are if they listen to this. And they'll be fine with me sharing it, but by the way. But there was someone who used to go and date, because they lived in a very expensive city, in order to have their meals paid for. So, spoiler alert, if you're dating from that space, you're probably not looking for love or ready for love. Okay, so it's being open, honest, and clear with yourself if this is something that you are actually ready for. And if you're not, that's okay as well. Do you know what? The amount of people I've ended up working with who have said, look, I really want to go and date. I know I'm not ready. I just need help to get to that space. I need that support to get to that level. Awesome. Do you know what? That's probably the best self-aware elements that I love about people when I work with them. There's not many people where, well, actually, there's been no one so far where I've said, yep, you're ready to jump straight into the dating pool. There's no one. No one I've worked with. Every person I've worked with, there's always a deeper element at play that's blocked them from experiencing that beautiful experience of what real love feels like. Because real love, being loved for who you are, is probably one of the most profound, powerful experiences you could possibly feel. Like, I think when Jerome and I met, like, something that I kept on repeating was, wow, I feel like I can be human around you. Like, he is probably one of the first people, no, he is, he's one of the first people I've ever been with where I have felt like I can be me. Because before, in previous relationships, it was always about how can I prove myself to be loved? Or it was, I'm too afraid to be loved, I need to hold people at arm's length, or date people that I know that I will never fall deeply in love with, so I can't have my heart broken again. And we all know that never works. Truthfully, we always know that never works. So it's about being able to experience that. Experience that true level of love. Because that's what you deserve. You know, you haven't got to work for that. You haven't got to change yourself for that. And the truth is, it's effortless being you. It's effortless of being the truth of who you are. The only time that, you know, life feels hard is when we deviate away from who we really are. So if you can be loved for who you are without having to worry about what you do, what you say, what you wear, then how awesome is that? Because you're allowed to be you. You're allowed to be accepted for who you are. And to start off with, it's you loving and accepting the truth of who you are. So, before we wrap up, I want to share that if you are in that space where you are wanting a relationship, but perhaps you know that you need a little bit of support or help to get there, I want to offer you a free 15-minute insights call with me. And you know what the best thing is about these calls? Is I don't sell on them. Because I know so many people do and it's horrible. I just want to have that 15 minutes where it's purely for you. It's purely for you, purely to support you to move closer to experiencing that real, beautiful love that you actually deserve. And what we tend to go through, so I allow you to literally type in there, ask a question of what you actually want to cover within that call. I can, certainly very almost guarantee that we will get to the core of that issue within 6 minutes, and the remaining, 9 minutes of that call, we will come up with a solution that's going to support you to move forward. And that's what I want for you. Because at the end of the day, everyone deserves real, honest, and genuine love, but not everyone knows how to get it. So if you're ready to go ahead and book one of those calls, then head over to lovewithintelligence.com. And there will be a button in the top right-hand corner that you can click, and it says Book Insights Call, and you can book a free 15-minute call with me today. So that's lovewithintelligence.com, and you can click that button today and book a free call where we can support you to enjoy more beautiful, healthy, profound, long-lasting love. So, have a beautiful day. Jump over to the website, and I'll speak to you soon. Bye for now.